The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KAOS 89.3 FM, Olympia, Washington, it is time for The Thunderbolts. You are listening to The Thunderbolt on KAOS 89.3 FM Olympia, where we are proud to announce that we will be airing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every single week. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to The Thunderbolt on KAOS 89.3 FM, Olympia, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk. Well, hey there. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for July 5th, 2019. I am proud to announce that the news and commentary section for this week's show is being brought to you by the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And so the Thunderbolt will return to you in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Well, hey, humanity! This is the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. So tell me, humanity, are you tired of that nasty old machine destroying all life on your planet? Yeah, sure. You really would like to do something about that. But geez, some of those people you've got to work with. For instance, there are assholes and old sexist white guys, as well as passive-aggressive power manipulators with dark, hidden agendas. And I hear they even let right-wingers and homophobes try to save the world these days. And thus the left spends all their time fighting with each other rather than fighting the baby killers. Oh well, huh? I guess we might as well just go vote for Democrats and hope for the best. But wait, what would you say, humanity, if I told you that there is a solution? Yes, humanity. What would you say if I told you that there is a tried and tested method for getting along with other people? Well, I am here to tell you that very thing. For this miracle product is called the concept of accepting a diversity of world views. It's easy. You just need to loosen up a little, open your mind a little, and pull that stick out of your ass. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews can be delivered directly to your home, free of charge, and with no obligation. If you choose to keep the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, it is absolutely free. In addition, we offer a 100% no questions asked money back guarantee, and we offer on-premises financing at 0% APR. So you have no excuse. Take the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews for a test drive today.
Warning, possible side effects can include saving your planet. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is available everywhere that you find humanity. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is fully responsible for the content of this planet.
So I was archiving some old newsletters the other day when I came across an old article about a lengthy email from an anonymous source who provided me with a gratuitous psychological assessment of my personal character. And it was very interesting in a twisty sort of way. In addition to the personal implications contained within this communication, it also touched upon many much larger issues. Because the fact is that a lot of our internecine problems are caused largely by misunderstandings that result from diverse worldviews. And yes, that statement was slyly planted in this week's Thunderbolt by this week's sponsor, the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews as part of a deep, dark plot to prime your mind for the grand finale sales pitch that will be coming later in this week's show. One thing that makes implementing the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews much easier is learning to understand where other people are coming from. And that is why I really think the personal is the political, and why I don't really think that you can separate them. We need to become the world we want to create. And the more we know about each other, and the more understanding there is between us, then the easier that is to do. Therefore, this week I plan to boldly go where most of you have most certainly never gone before. Because I think maybe I can help you understand viewpoints that may be alien to your worldview. For understanding a diversity of worldviews is a vital component to implementing the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And thus, you stand duly warned. And so, concerning my gratuitous anonymous psychological analysis, I should probably be honored that someone spent so much time and thought on me, since he brought up a lot of interesting and relevant stuff, and since most of that stuff can be tied into the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, then when it comes to amateur psychological analysis, I am most happy to return the favor. In addition, I also considered my psychoanalyst's message to be an invitation to engage in a duel of witty repartee. And as you are about to learn, my opponent in this contest, most highly intelligent and highly knowledgeable about many things, yet displays little wisdom and even less humor. And when it comes to wisdom over knowledge, I'll take wisdom any day. And as to humor, I have personally found that when it comes to dealing with the world, you can either laugh about it or you can cry about it. And in my experience, laughing both feels a lot better than crying. And in addition, it will make you much more popular at parties. So some of the points I am about to make will seem like personal gotchas. And while they may seem like that, because that is exactly what they are, I ask you to bear with me through, because even most of the gotchas that I have included all build into a crescendo that all ties into the central theme of the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews in the end. So please be patient. And I would also like to think that I am able to keep you entertained as we get there. But jokes aside, just for a second, don't worry. I am going to do a lot of paraphrasing due to the original correspondence's length and due to its unknown provenance and due to the fact that I really don't like the person who sent it very much and due to the fact that he sent his observations anonymously and due to the fact that he tended to use lots of excess verbiage and due to the fact that my translations are not only shorter than his original rantings are, but they are also much funnier. I believe my summaries convey the spirit, if not the endless details, of the original correspondence. But if anyone really wants to wade through the original and check on the accuracy of my characterization, then I will be happy to forward the links to it upon request. Okay. The serious second is over now. Watch out for jokes. The gentleman started by saying that he didn't really know me and he'd only met me briefly a couple of times, but that I made him uncomfortable, he didn't like me, he didn't trust me, and he questioned my character and my credibility. Evidently basing all of these rather serious charges and allegations upon two brief meetings and upon my writing in my newsletter. Then, in spite of having just acknowledged not knowing me, he launched into a fairly lengthy and detailed psychoanalysis, using words such as dualistic neurosis, to explain to me in exquisite detail exactly why I am such a piece of shite white male sexist pig. In addition, my anonymous critic also informed me that I had no personal character and that I had dark, dangerous, hidden agendas. So hidden that they are hidden even from myself, and that he was now revealing me to myself as a public service so that I may emerge from my old white guy sexist darkness and joyously emerge into the light as a truly enlightened human being. Though he did not really expect that to happen, because us old white guys, sexist pigs, are so firmly set in our ways, and so on and so forth, ad infinitum, etc. Dana is actually pretty aware of his many psychological quirks, including his habit of referring to himself in the third person, and he at least likes to think that he deals with them rather adeptly. Well, I must admit that my anonymous therapist hit a couple of slightly uncomfortable nails right on the head. By the end of his screed, I was thinking that maybe he had stumbled even upon those purely by accident, because so many of his other observations were so off the mark, I began to suspect, at the risk of engaging in amateur psychoanalysis of someone that I do not know, that rather than criticizing me, the anonymous gentleman was instead analyzing himself and then projecting his observations onto me. First, he offended me by challenging my personal honor. Concerning my personal honor, I spent 6 years in prison rather than sell my friends to the feds. And one of many reasons I did that was because my honor is what makes me who I am, and without my honor, I am nothing. So I spent 6 years in hell to earn my badge of honor, and now you are questioning that? And exactly who are you? You refuse to say. You send me your email anonymously through a third party because you say, quote, "It is clear anything but anonymous feedback brings a cruel public slandering via your newsletter. So I remain anonymous to prevent such." Unquote. Well, as for me, I put my name to nearly everything I write. I stand behind everything I say. And in the few instances where I've been proven wrong, I acknowledge such publicly, as I have done many times in the past. You, on the other hand, challenge my honor and my credibility from behind a veil of anonymity. And as far as sending your message anonymously because you fear my slandering of you in my newsletter, how about we do this and I'll grant you a little validation? If you consider me calling you a coward to be slander, then I hereby officially slander you because you send your words anonymously. Oh, how I love irony. And by the way, I normally do not reveal the names of people who ask me not to reveal them anyway. While I regularly blast the machine and its evil minions without mercy, who have I ever slandered in this newsletter? I don't remember ever slandering anyone. Do you consider policy disagreements to be slander? And for the record, from here on out, I will be, quote, criticizing you, unquote, as opposed to slandering you, even if I must do it anonymously. And as for my unsolicited therapist's deep psychiatric insights, one of many he alleged is that I like to move and shake for its own sake. And therefore, I cannot be trusted since I fight for the sake of my own ego rather than for the cause. Well, as far as that goes, first of all, does anyone really know anyone that does not have an ego? If so, I would imagine they resemble a lump of flesh that occasionally eats something. They probably would also sleep, but it would be difficult to differentiate sleep from their normal daily activity. Having an ego is not the problem. The problems come with their size and with their health. They can be too big, or they can be too small, or they can be just right. They can unleash holocausts, and they can write frigging Beethoven's frigging ninth frigging symphony when the frigging owner of that frigging ego was stone frigging deaf. As with so many other human characteristics, ego can be a force for good or a force for not so good. The primary reason that I move and shake is so that my granddaughter will have a planet that is worth living on. Other than that, though, I do indeed absolutely love moving and shaking for its own sake, because it's a blast, and because I'm good at it. And if you are going to feed your ego and pride yourself on being good at something, then I think being good at saving my granddaughter's planet is a rather benign form of that particular psychological derangement. I don't expect to be seeking therapy anytime soon. Then, the guy pissed me off. It seems that my story about Julie dancing with the flowers, i.e. Riders on the Storm, revealed to my anonymous critics, deep-seeing psychological perceptions, the fact that I actually have a dark, hidden, penis-wagging power manipulation agenda going on here, and that I ill-used Julie with ill intent and for ill purpose by writing Riders on the Storm in order to advance my dark agenda. Really? You got all of that from Riders on the Storm? Who'd have thunk? Well, here is my own, quite different opinion of Riders on the Storm, which opinion I think relevant because I was there when I wrote it. Ego alert. Yes, my own opinion is that Riders on the Storm is one of the most beautiful pieces of literary artistry that I have ever managed to summon in a very long career of writing lots and lots of things. And in all of those years of writing all of that stuff, I now consider Riders on the Storm to be my second favorite creation to which I have ever given birth. While technically it was originally written for political purpose, Riders on the Storm was actually a pure art piece. And Rider on the Storm came straight from the most precious parts of my soul. Dead serious now, no joke. Fuck you. Penis wagger alert.
Shut up, little man.
It is rather ironic.
You know how sick you are.
You accuse me.
Isn't that neat?
Of dark hidden agendas in writing Riders on the Storm, not only because it is probably one of the least dark things I've ever written, but also because in that particular case,
you said you would be quiet and do it.
I actually stated very plainly before telling that particular story that I did indeed have a very specific agenda. For telling that particular story at that particular time. And that I would reveal said agenda immediately after telling said story, which I did indeed subsequently do. Said agenda was to illustrate how a sexual relationship can produce profound magic.
Do not do that.
And I was presenting this in response to a bunch of flack I was receiving for speaking of sex in what many consider to be a sexist manner.
Think everything's fun, it's not.
Not much hidden there, sorry.
I am the human race, and I will not take it anymore.
I do believe that you are confusing the way my mind works with the way your mind works.
You're such a little fool.
I would suggest to listeners that rather than speculate upon my dark hidden agenda,
you want to stick me with that fork?
In writing a story like Riders on the Storm, you would serve yourself better by speculating upon what kind of person would be disturbed by a story like Riders on the Storm.
Shut up, little man.
What you describe as less than honorable was for me recalling one of my most magical memories. What I consider less than honorable is trying to force other people to view reality through your twisty lens rather than through their own. And we'll be back after a quick station break.